Good morning. If you would, please open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 is where our study will come from this morning. We appreciate so much all those who are here at the 9 a.m. service to be a part of and participate in our theme for this year. Our theme is prayer. We are focused specifically on that. And this morning, we were told what a DPPC is, and you should have a DPPC now in your hands and ready to use that through the rest of this year. If you don't know what that is, you should have been here. Everyone needs a DPPC for this year. You may remember with me, last Sunday, we were looking at Deuteronomy 8 and Deuteronomy 9, and I talked a little bit about how God is a God that we cannot see. He is the invisible God. We can't see Him, and that's just a fact. But, as I made the point last Sunday, we can hear Him. And that's His will in all of this. You wonder, well, why not? How come we can't see Him? Well, He's involved. This is His will. He doesn't want us to see Him. God is spirit, Jesus tells us in John 4. I realize that not being able to see a God who is commanding you to live a certain way and to believe certain things about Him can be hard. It's a hard concept to take hold of. It takes thought and careful consideration to properly reach the right conclusions about God and all that He is. Consider our children, and maybe even more personally, consider yourself as a child. As you were taught about God, do you remember who told you about God first? Do you remember as a child, being as far back as you can remember, do you remember praying to God? If so, what was that like? In your own recollection, what was it like praying to God? What did you ask Him for? Do you remember some of the things you asked Him for? I can remember some of the things I asked Him for. He didn't come through all the time when I was 6 years old. But I was learning something about God and maybe what I should be praying for. But isn't it a tough concept? You know, to see your children as parents who stand in front of them, God can see you. God can see everything you do. Not only that, He knows your heart. God also wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to pray to Him, and you should. Give as much time as you can in prayer to God. We expect our children to take hold of that. It really is quite an amazing thing for a young child with a mind that is malleable and learning and receiving all of this instruction and things that they can kind of build their life on, that there's this other compartment for them, that there is a God. He is real. He exists. We honor Him in this home, and you will honor Him as well. You know, children, in the process of time, they learn how to take hold of that. We also can tell them, and we should, that He speaks to them in His creation. He speaks to them in the fact that they're alive and breathing. God is doing that. God keeps you alive. And of course, God speaks to all of us by His Word. The Bible frequently tells us that God is invisible and we can't see Him, but that we should hear Him. Again, someone's going to say, well, if God is real, why can't I see Him? Because He has told us He's invisible. You see, if God showed Himself to you, He would no longer be faithful to His own Word. If He'll just show me who He is, if He'll just stand here in front of me and talk to me, then I'll do what's right. Nope, not going to happen. The Lord doesn't make deals. His Word, His eternal Word, says that He is invisible, and so you will not see Him. He will not appear to you in your room, not because of you, but because He honors His Word. He told Moses, "No man shall see My face and live," in Exodus 33. In verse 20. Later in that chapter, in verse 23, he says again, "My face shall not be seen." Romans 1 in verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." God is invisible, but He can be clearly seen by His marvelous works. Colossians 1 in verse 15, speaking of Jesus, says He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So, when Jesus says to the apostles, "You've seen the Father because you've seen Me," and one of the apostles says, "Lord, show us the Father and it'll suffice." And Jesus says, "You've been with Me all this time. Why are you saying, 'Show us the Father'? If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father." That is God's will. Does He want us to see Him? Yes. How? Through and by Jesus Christ. It is in His Word. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 17, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." What I want to do this morning is we think about God and His great power. So let's talk to the person who says, well, if He's real, why can't I just see Him? Just let me see Him. Well, get ready. I'm going to show Him to you. I'm going to show Him to you in a way that He wants to be seen. I'm going to show Him to you by His Word. And I want to use one verse for this. I want you to think about this one verse with me as we go through the study this morning. You ready to see God? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Finally, brethren, meditate on the things that are true. This is God speaking to us. If you back up the two verses before, Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Make your requests known to God with thanksgiving. And the God of peace will rule your hearts and your minds. And we say, I don't know how He's going to do that. I'm stuck in a mess here. I've got anxiety all over my life. Everything's a mess. Everything I touch falls apart. I am in serious pain. I have conditions in my life that no one can help me with. I have problems upon problems upon problems, and I'm going crazy. And that happens. It happens to all of us because difficulty does come upon us. And God says, be anxious for nothing. And we say, well, show yourself to me. And He says, okay. You ready? Whatever things are true, meditate on these things. What I want us to see is the glorious message that is found right here. What is true to you? God says, find it, locate it in your life and in your heart and meditate on it. What is true to you? If it's true, then it's in accordance with the actual state of affairs. Isn't that what truth is? It's in accordance with the actual state of affairs. It is fully realized or fulfilled as stated as being true. Things that are true are consistent. Think with me about the things that are true in your life. Don't let me give you my list. You make your list of the things that are true because we are to contemplate those things. We are to meditate on those things. I do want to share a couple with you, though. You know what I know to be true? The love of my grandparents. Those of you who are grandparents today, is your love for your grandchildren true? The love of my grandparents is true. I'm supposed to meditate on that. Does that help anxiety? The love of my Father who is alive and with me today by God's grace. His love has always been true to me while I was in His arms. And that means something to us who have fathers, who have families, to be in my Father's arms, to rest there, to know that I'm safe. To know if anything happens to me, it's going to happen to both of us. See, that's true. And it's unbreakable. It's unchangeable. It will never change. It is consistent with reality. The love of my Father is always there. If I jump toward Him or if I jump down to Him, He always caught me. Now, that took a little bit of time because at first He said, jump and I'll catch you. And I said, But then I finally did, and guess what? He caught me every time. So again, for us to think about the difficulty, the challenges of life, thinking about your dad and the love of your dad won't fix all your problems. God is saying to us, think about that which you know to be true and meditate. Meditate now, that means we have to take some time. We want to think about that. We want to work that out in my life. The love of my grandparents is true. And those of you who are grandparents know that in a greater reality than I understand. The love of my Father was true and is true today. That is something that gives me strength, I promise you. When I was a little boy, My dad worked on the railroad when I was a little boy. There were times when I was worried or nervous, something happened. My dad wasn't always at home because he worked on the railroad, and you get called out, you get on the caboose and you ride it until they stop, you know, and he's in a different town for a day or two. And so there were days when I came home from school and my father wasn't there. But I just want to share something with you about the true love and nature that we have with our family. Even though my father wasn't home, I could go down the long hall of our house and go into his bedroom. And if I sat on his bed, there was a perfect peace there for me. I was covered. I was protected. Nothing could get to me if I was in my father's bedroom. There was a picture of authority and strength in my father's bedroom. It may have a lot to do with the fact that he drug us there to spank us from time to time. It was always his bed for some reason. But that's the place I went for safety, for solitude, as a little kid. Because that's true, and I depended on it. And so God's saying, you know, take those things in your life and meditate on them. These things are here for you. They've happened in your life. They're personal to you. Take hold of them. Make them what they're supposed to be so that anxiety will be washed away. The love in my house is true. The love with my wife is true. The love that I have for my children that they have for me is true. I know that. We make sacrifices for each other every day. We tolerate each other. We put up with each other. We learn from each other. And we teach each other. And that just goes all the way around. We teach each other all the time. The love is true. I will die for my home. I will die for my family. They have to know that. It's true. And it's something they can use to defend themselves, to guard their hearts and their minds by the love of God. Meditate on these things. What else is true to you? God's long-suffering? Is God's long-suffering true? We're still here. As wicked as this earth is still turning because God knows that there's one or more who will turn to Him and He will wait for them. That is true. You know how I know it's true? We're still here. Again, I need to meditate on that. I can meditate on the love of Christ. That is true. How do I know it's true? Go to Calvary. Go to Calvary and watch it unfold before your eyes. His love is true. It is unchangeable. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. That, brothers and sisters, is true. Who you are to me is true. For me, the role that you play in your life, serving God the way that you do, as individuals and as the Lord's church, you are true to me, and I mean true. You are everything to me. I can't tell you how often I get into a situation where I get down, I'm depressed, I'm worried about something, and I think about you and what you would do and who you are in my life. And instantly I have courage and I have strength because of who you are. I have story upon story upon story and example upon example upon example about each one of you and the lives that you are living for God. That is true. The Lord has shown us in Philippians chapter 4 that we can calm our greatest anxieties by going to Him in prayer with supplications, with thanksgiving in our heart, making our request known to God. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Those verses tell us to do two main things. Those verses tell us to pray, and you get to verse 8, it tells us to meditate. The theme this year is prayer for us, and we will hit that hard. As I said before, prayer, as you already know, is talking to God. You know what meditation is? It's listening to God. Very interesting. The deep seriousness of prayer demands that we have an open dialogue with the Lord when we approach Him in prayer. Prayer is that beautiful moment when we set our lives before Him, our cares, our concerns, our desires, our regrets, and our victories. He knows what we need, and He knows that we must talk to Him about it, and He knows that we need to hear Him when He talks to us. So again, prayer is talking to God. It's our turn to say something. Meditation is listening to God. If you're going to meditate, what would it be on? There's all types of concepts and ideas about meditation and what it should be. It is on truth. Meditate on God's Word. You will be everything you're supposed to be by His power and by His might when you take hold of that with all of your heart. Remember, prayer is your opportunity to talk to God. Meditation, which we should do just as much, if not more, is listening to what He has told us. Meditate on these things, things that are true. I want to do something with you just briefly for a moment, because again, I just want to show you, I've made a lot of blanket statements about truth. If you would, look at Psalm 119 with me. And we'll start Psalm 119 and 160. Psalm 119 and verse 160 says, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." That is the word of God. The entirety of your word is truth. We are to meditate on truth, on the things that are true. That's the title of our lesson. So let's just run a quick experiment. Let's stay in Psalm 119 and let's watch this unfold for us. Meditate on things that are true. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 4. I just picked three. You can go through this yourself and just see it is everywhere. Psalm 119 and verse 4. "You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all of your commandments." Can you imagine the power of that passage? I am dedicated, I am devoted to keeping your statutes, your standards, your testimonies. Look at verse 6. "Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments." How can I not be ashamed when I look into the commandments of God? By following His statutes. So that when I look into the commandments of God, I'm right there with Him. I'm following it. I'm doing it. Let this be me. That's what the psalmist is saying. This is true. The entirety of your word is truth. So when I open the Bible and I look to the Word of God, it is not in a rebuke, in a chastising sort of way, but in this is what I have been doing and will continue to do. The only way I can open God's Word and not be ashamed is to walk in His statutes. Just imagine the depth of that statement alone. How sad it is for us to look at a verse and go, "Man, I wish that wasn't there. I got 90% of the Word of God and I'm doing great. I love those verses." But this one keeps coming up. Have you ever done that where you just open your Bible just at random and go, "All right, let's just see what the Lord has for me here." Oh, of all the places for me to turn. Why does that happen? Because Psalm 119 stands there and says, "Lord, when I open your word and look into your law, let me not be ashamed." That takes effort on my part. I have to be walking in His statutes. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 9. Again, a powerful verse. The greatest question of all: how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Is that true? Is that true? How can a young man whose heart is bound in foolishness, how can he cleanse his way and walk perfectly? By reading, studying, meditating on the Word of God. The word heed is to hear it and then respond in kind. Do what you should do. Will that cleanse a young man's way? If he follows God, no holds barred, I'm going to do everything God's told me to do. Not one thing will be left undone. That's the life I'm going to live. Will his way be cleansed? If he's serious, it will. It's amazing to see the truth of God in just this chapter alone. Psalm 119 and verse 17, Psalm 119, 17 says, "Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me." Every bit of this is true. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. That is quite the deal to make with the Lord. Let me live, deal bountifully with me, and let me allow me to live so that I might keep your word. That is true. And when someone lives a life like that, with that type of mindset and that type of attitude, God will bless you and He will show you the marvelous wonders of His word and what's found there and how it's applied and what will come of your life when you do the things that He's given you to do. Verse 18, "Open my eyes." Pray to God this prayer: "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." I'm going to read your word today, Lord. Open my eyes. That's such a great request, because my eyes are all foggy. my eyes are predisposed to certain things. I got opinions about everything under the sun. I don't want to see what I think I see. I want to see what you're trying to show me. Open my eyes that I may see the wonders of all of your law and your word. And then verse 19, is this true or is it not? I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. You look around and you see the world is on fire. Everything is falling apart. Everything. The answer, I hate to break it to you, the answer is not going to be found in Washington. I hope you weren't waiting for that. There won't be some new law passed by our Congress that will set everything straight. It is not going to happen. I am a stranger here. I don't wait for people to fix my problems. I fully lean on and trust in Almighty God. I am a stranger. Please don't hide your commandments from me. Don't let me fall like them. Keep me pure. Keep me clean. Cleanse the young man's way. Cleanse the middle-aged man's way. Cleanse the elderly man's way by keeping your statutes. Brethren, the lesson is yours. Again, we're to be praying and praying fervently. Meditating is also a very big part of that, to listen to what God has to say to you, because we're supposed to pray according to His will. I mentioned earlier that there are difficult things that come upon us in our lives. Every one of us is different. You know, I think about the things that have happened to me in my life and how challenging some of those things were and how the Lord saw me through for His purpose. But you have yours, and there may be something pressing on you now today, and that is very serious. We are not ever going to make light of that. God has placed within your life, you're here today, God has placed this place, this congregation, this Lord's church in your life to help. I mentioned earlier that when I fall on hard times, I get into a moment where I'm not doing too well, about ready to throw in the towel. I think about you. I open the directory and I get to page 2 and I'm like, all right, I'll get back to work. Because we do help each other. You will unleash the fervent prayer of a righteous people for your assistance and for your aid. It can be done at any moment, and it's up to you. God's people are here. God's people are prayers. God's people want to pray for you, for your soul, your precious soul, and for your life. Don't go through it alone. If you need the help of this church, we will do everything that we can within the will of God to help you and to assist you to go to heaven. If we can help you come forward and make that need known to us now while together we stand and sing.